The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Kiefer and Curry. We kind of get together every week and kick around, well, Tony, God knows what. And I'm excited this week
because you will tell me what we're talking about. I'm excited.
Yeah, I had kind of a funny story to kick this off, but it got me to thinking this morning because you and I are on the verge of being part of this group we're going to talk about. Okay. And It is the golden era of life where you kind of enter into the realm of, you know, like when you're driving your car and you cross state lines, you're supposed to honk your horn. It says, welcome to Iowa or welcome to Indiana. Tony, we're about to cross that line. Welcome to seasoned citizenhood. I'm really reluctant to join the group, but on the other hand, I don't particularly care for the alternative either. So it's a club you have to join unless you are, you know, really have some kind of a negative perception, which I do going in, but it's kind of mandatory. If you want to stick around, you've got to be in that. But with all that being said, I had a really funny experience this morning. My radio partner on my jock shows for a long time and also a cast member in football season for our television show, The Starting Lineup, Terry Quillian, who I actually went to high school with, but I didn't really know her very well then. She was a year older than me. And, you know, when you're an underclassman, you can't really talk to girls in the, you know, in the next class or you burst into flames. Yeah. So I didn't want that to happen either. But anyway, all that being said, Terry and I have a great relationship and we communicate back and forth. And this was very perceptive of her because she's a keen observer of different things that a lot of people wouldn't notice. But remember in 2019, after LSU with Joe Burrow and that exemplary, you know, they had all the great receivers that are now superstars in the NFL, Jefferson and Chase and all those guys on one team, they won the national championship. And remember, the coach was Ed Orgeron. Mm-hmm. And Ed Orgeron was just a kind of a journeyman assistant. He had been head coach on an interim basis at USC, but the spring after, just a couple of months after they won the national championship, and they had Joe Brady as offensive coordinator, who immediately got a big job in the NFL and still there in that capacity. They had Dave Aranda running their defense as the coordinator. He's now head coach at Baylor. So how much of that was Ed? Anyway, Ed was probably in his mid to late 50s, and in that couple of months afterwards, Ed was popping up everywhere. They had him on political shows and giving his views on motivating people and all that. He was getting all the credit. But Terry noticed something right off the bat that appalled her and called my attention to it, that you kept seeing Ed in footage running on the LSU campus. He had always been a big old boy. Mm-hmm. He got into this whole physical fitness thing and he's running around on Baton Rouge at LSU in the springtime, always with his shirt off. And it was kind of a horrid visual. And she's going, that's a bad sign. That's a forbidding bad sign when an old guy's taking his shirt off all the time. And she acquainted me with the fact that in her second marriage, when her and her retired husband moved to Hawaii, she said from day one, he basically shed his shirt and refused to wear a shirt anywhere he went. Now at the beach, that's fine. They lived in like an exclusive neighborhood in Maui, you know, real highfalutin. She said if he was out in the yard or walking the dog or going down the street, he never had a shirt on. And she said she was always kind of appalled by that. And it's something that I'll continue with my experiences, but it's funny because when I was about 20 years old, I got a job at the Standard Club in Atlanta, which was right down on Paces Ferry. It was near the Governor's Mansion, really exclusive, you know, rich guy kind of a deal. This was the tennis part of it. The golf was out in the suburbs somewhere. But my job was basically, it was locker room attendant. And it was brand new for me, but being the locker room attendant, your predominant job was to wash towels, and you had a small bar under your counter that you could mix drinks for guys. Just the basics. I couldn't do any kind of fruity drinks, or but they come in, you know, give me a gin and tonic or give me a bourbon and Coke. You know, so I mix up a drink and wash towels. Tony, it was appalling to me, and I'm still haunted by this. There were a group of maybe a dozen of these guys, and probably frequented at any one time. These guys would play tennis, and then they would hang out in this locker room watching TV and having conversations, and most of them were naked the whole time. And it was like, oh my God, this is horrendous. These guys with all their white hair sticking out of their chest and hanging low, Sweet Chariot, you know, Tony, I'm still haunted by those visuals. I can't believe I'm on the brink of that kind of life. But, you know, with all that being said, what are your thoughts as we welcome to Seasoned Citizenhood? And what's wrong with these guys that kind of want to put themselves on display? Is it some kind of rebellious reaction to getting older to say, look, I still got it. Look at me strutting my stuff. I find the whole thing so distasteful and appalling. Oh, and I didn't finish the other story. I'll let you talk in a second, I promise. But as soon as I responded to Terry today about the Ed Ogeron thing, because he has been gone since they gave him a $17 million buyout to go away. Ed Ogeron popped up this week in New Orleans for a wedding of a former player. And damn, Tony, if 7 years later, he hadn't even been seen in since it's not seven, 6 years later, 2019 is when he was by this last sighting, 2020. It's been 5 or 6 years. Ed Ogeron has like an impromptu little media session poolside. Guess what? With his shirt off. And she said, he's still at it. And I said, you know, I commented on, you know, it's got to be some kind of mental illness. I swear to God, the next thing I do is flip back to my Facebook page. I get a solicitation from a really good guy that I know who's been after me all year. He wants me to join the Birmingham Stallions fan club. Mm-hmm. And I just don't have any appetite for spring football. It's not the Stallions. It's not Birmingham, but it's a secondary league. It's Bush League. My plate is full with sports. I don't have any interest in the USFL. If that makes me a bad Birmingham guy, but there's a point to this because the very next line is we have such a great time. We all go shirtless to the games down at Protective Stadium. And I said, what the hell is wrong with people in this generation? So now it's in your court. What are your thoughts?
Well, if that's coming from Don, I'm not being part of
that. Yeah, there you go. I was not going to name names.
You've seen Don on our show, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Now, first of all,
do you want to sit shirtless at a USFL game? It's absurd.
I can honestly say this. This is a great story. I got a million stories. First of all, I used to belong to the YMCA on Highway 280, and anyone that goes to the YMCA on 280, this is about 10 years ago, there was a guy.
Yeah.
He used to hang out in the locker room. And he was always naked. He was the one that would put the foot up on the seat when he would talk to you.
Yeah.
I never saw the guy work out. I only saw him in the locker room.
What is up with that?
Which was kind of strange. And the other thing is when I was in high school, there was a exhibition game at the Cincinnati Gardens between the LA Lakers and the Seattle Supersonics. And as extra credit, my teacher asked me if I'd want to go down there with a tape recorder and actually cover and get locker room passes for the game. And so I went down with a friend of mine named John Featherston. I'll never forget it. We took a basketball down there. And of course, as reporters, journalists, you're not supposed to be asking for autographs, but we were 16 years old. Oscar Robinson was down there. I mean, all the former Laker players were down there. We get down there. And of course, at that time, It was apropos. It was fine, but it just didn't happen a lot to have women in men's locker rooms. There was only one woman that walked in the locker room, and she almost looked like a guy. But I'll never forget the look on John Featherston's face, because these guys were just walking around naked. And you had primarily 90% of them were African Americans. We know African Americans, God took care of them. That's all I can sit there and say. And they were tripping over each other and everything else. And I can remember us just having a really difficult time, even at the age of 16, trying to make eye contact, because we had never been around that many naked men at one time, and just really comfortable being naked with each other. So that was, I'll never forget that story. And we had a good laugh over it. Now I think about, I walk every day. I've never walked without a shirt. When I do see a guy, and we have several guys in our neighborhood that run without shirts, but they can pull it off. They're in their 20s. They want to get some sun. You look like that. That's fine. You could pull it off. There is a couple of guys that do actually walk that they can't pull it off. And so I've never run the neighborhood, and I've never cut grass without the shirt off. That's another thing in our neighborhood. A lot of guys, I guess they feel like, well, we might as well get some sunshine, and maybe it's really, really hot. Maybe I'll take my shirt off and do that. The first two people I thought of were Bruce Pearl. Obviously went shirtless and of course, in infamy, and thank goodness he is a Hall of Fame coacher and obviously has just made the Auburn Tigers a basketball program to be reckoned with the rest of time, as long as he's there. And Vladimir Putin. There's another guy who, quite frankly, looked pretty damn good on the back of a horse. If I do say so myself, as a straight heterosexual man, I can honestly say that if I look like that, maybe I would go bare vested a little more. As far as guys not wearing shirts at games, that only works for me that if you're in Green Bay. And I don't know about you, but if I just get a slight breeze on my nipples in the middle of wintertime, I get really uncomfortable. Like I'm all of a sudden just getting really, really cold. I'm turning into the sweater guy. I've always been a guy that always had to wear just my underwear to bed. That's the only thing I'd ever wear to bed, is just my skivvies. And now I find myself wearing sweaters and sweatshirts and everything else.
Oh, yeah, it's so cold.
Even in the middle of summertime to bed, because I'm freezing my ass off. I don't know if it's because I'm losing skin tone. I don't know if my testosterone's out the window, whatever it is. I'm cold. And I've never been like that. My thermostat has never seen 70. It's always been 68 or 69. If you get up right now, it's on 73. And my son's like, what the hell's wrong with you? I'm like, I guess it's because I'm getting old. I'm getting cold. Anyway, totally agree with her from the standpoint that there's some guys that should never go shirtless. I would like
to know. If you have man boobs, Tony, you should never go. There's nothing more disgusting than man boobs.
That is very, very true. And unfortunately, I can honestly say, because if you used to work out and then you don't work out, man boobs are going to be part of your life. Man boobs look good. Yeah. But yeah, it's disgusting. You can't do that. If you can pull it off and look good without when they were shirt. But then again, from a purely ego standpoint, if you look good, you look good. That's good enough to not wear a shirt. For Ed Orgeron, I applaud his efforts, and I applaud the fact that he feels so damn comfortable in his own skin. He could be like that. And I think people love that. I think people love the fact that some people honestly feel comfortable enough to be able to take their shirt, whether it be in a locker room, whether it be in a basketball game, or whether it be doing poolside, doing an interview.
Well, Terry was right back then with Ed, because just 2 months later, shockingly, his wife of 34 years became a casualty. He cut her loose, and he was starting to bring 20-somethings to practice and such. She saw it coming. She saw the signs.
Bill Belichick is hell 74, and he's taking pictures of himself on the beach shirtless. So maybe we're onto something.
Exactly. That's a whole nother subject that I'm sure that this 24-year-old is just, attracted to the charisma and good looks of Bill Belichick, but that's another subject. I had two thoughts when you were talking about being in the locker room with a bunch of well-endowed black fellas. It made me think of the line that always gets by the censors. years. Even the cut down, cleaned up version of Blazing Saddles, the Mel Brooks classic. Remember, there's the scene where he rides up after a long time away from the railroad guys, and they're all so thrilled to see he's wearing his Gucci leather sheriff's outfit. Yeah. And his best friend goes, Bart, they said you was hung. And he said, they was right. And I also thought about, remember the Seinfeld episode where Jerry and Kramer get to go to a playoff game, but the guy never calls Jerry back about getting the tickets for the next game. And Kramer blames it on Jerry because he didn't properly thank him. And at the very end, the guy does call and says, hey, I can get you guys in the game tonight because it's the Rangers against the Devils. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big rivalry. New Year. And remember the very closing scene of that. I can get you in, but there's one catch. And remember they're with a bunch of shirtless idiots with the letters Devils painted on their chest. Yep. I think Jerry's the L, Kramer's the I, and they've got this giant fat guy as the S who, after, you know, they're jumping up one by one with their letters on their painted on their stomach. It was absolutely hilarious. So that was the thought I had. But, you know, I have nothing against if you want to strut your stuff and show off what you got. But if that's a requirement for the season Citizens Club, count me out. I'm gonna go get some kind of operation somewhere, and maybe I don't know. I don't, and I'm in better position now. I've lost about 40 pounds. In the last you're looking good.
You can pull it off. You can pull it off.
But I still have no interest in being shirtless. And maybe people are listening to this go, well, this is kind of dumb, but you know, it seems like it's some kind of a rite of passage where you're trying to validate that you're not getting to that stage. I can't really think of any other reason that a bunch of 60 something year old men, you know, strut around at a public place at a ball game without their shirts on.
You ever been to a nudist colony?
I have not. How about you?
There's actually, I have. There's actually one here in the state of Alabama, in southern Alabama.
I've heard about it. Yeah.
It was celebrate. What was it? Women nudist. It was only women nudist day. Anyway, there was a celebrate women nudist day, whatever, last week, national holiday. They call it national holiday. One of this crazy, wacky, uh-huh, brownie locks thing. And I actually went to the link. And it was above board on everything. It was like, hey, listen, we really enjoyed not wearing clothes. It's not about the sex parts. No, it has nothing. It was very well lit. It almost made me want to join the club. But there is a club. Wow. There is a club here. I think it's maybe in Westover. But I had actually done a show from down there, and for obvious reasons. I will say this: there is something to be said. You know, what did Jerry have? The you were talking about Seinfeld. Didn't he have the girlfriend that walked around the apartment naked? The
entire time? Yeah.
And whenever she sneezed or cringed, he was like, hey.
Cringeworthy. Yeah.
I would open myself up to that opportunity. I don't care what she looks like. If anyone wants to walk around looks like that naked, she can sneeze all she wants in front of me. I don't have a problem with Naked Thursdays. There's something to be said about guys, but if you go to these nudist places, they're all people that are in their 60s and 70s that, quite frankly, I don't know if they were raised that way. I don't know if it was kind of like, you know, you were either one or two kids, you either wore shoes or you didn't wear shoes. The kids that used to go barefoot and go run across glass, you know, these kids used to run across parking lots. You can see them now going to swimming pools. The pavement will be like 145 degrees and you'll see kids skipping across the parking lot going to the swimming pool. And I'm like, I'm taking one shot, man. And I'm looking for the white spark. I'm looking for anything white that I can step on because of the bottom of my feet are on fire. And so I think it kind of goes for the shirt clothes optional thing. I could certainly understand it from Terry's standpoint. My question is, does she look more than once? If you're walking, if you walk in on your grandma in the shower, do you look more than once? Or are you supposed to? Are you
I'm sorry. old people, this just in, the human body when you're old is not a beautiful sight. It's just not. And if I'm arrogant and opening myself up for criticism, but it's not. The attractiveness part has got to be something different. And it kills me too, even when women contemporaries now say something like, I met this guy, he's really ripped. Baby, you're 65. How ripped can a 70-year-old be? I'm sure there are guys like that, but it's amazing to me that the physical attraction still in a lot of people's kind of superficial minds, men and women, is still important at this stage of life. I would think it would be a lot more of an intellectual and compatibility thing now, and get away from the whole physical thing.
I'll say this. I will say this, because I do think there's a big difference between feeling comfortable in your own skin, being authentic to yourself, like an Ed Orgeron, who obviously is, and then knowing that you look so good. And I will use an example. You remember Barry Krause?
Yeah,
Barry is like, if I were gay, Barry would be the first man I hit on. He's, and this was 15, 20 years ago when I played a golf tournament. He loved to walk around everywhere without a shirt on because he was Barry Flippin' Krause. He looked fantastic. First of all, he looked like he had his rug manicured on his chest. It was beautiful. I mean, and everyone knew it. I mean, he walked in a swimming pool and everyone was like, who the hell is that guy? Because he kept himself in incredible shape, had the black curls of the hair, just, he's beautiful. I mean, I told him, I said, he's like him and who was it? John Farmer, came out of the pool, and I was right away, I was like, am I at a gay pool? Because these two guys were too perfect to be even walking around any pool. And I even told him, I said, I'm going to hang around with you. And I started making him feel uncomfortable. He actually put a shirt on because I couldn't stop staring at him.
Oh, hilarious. But
so when you're like, you're talking about AARP, thing. If you're that ripped and that good looking, do I want to see you without a shirt on knowing you think you still look good? I'd much rather hang out with an Ed Orgeron type who knows he looks like hell and just feels comfortable in his own skin than a guy that actually can pull it off and is hoping that he'll get some eyeballs on him at the age of 59.
Yeah, it's weird. It brings me to the next part of this. I talked about as a younger person being uncomfortable in that environment, guy coming up to my counter while I'm folding my towels. What an interesting job that was.
And making drinks.
Yeah. And he's going, he comes up, buck naked and says, yeah, give me a screwdriver. And I'm going, what do you want it for? Oh, you mean a vodka and orange juice? Okay. I think about these young women. You Riley Gaines comes to mind, the swimmer, and some other ones have had the experience in female locker rooms of having guys still fully equipped who identify as mm-hmm. female. Mm-hmm. How uncomfortable must that be for them? I was a guy and it freaked me out.
What do women do? Well, I don't know this, but what do women do in locker rooms? I've read books. I remember.
Well, that's a good point.
Martina Navratilova wrote in her book, in her memoirs, that she used to walk naked from the minute she walked in the locker room to the minute she walked out before she went on the court, because she wanted to absolutely annihilate from top to bottom, because her body was so perfect that other women in the locker room were freaking out when she walked in. Of course, and she would intimidate the hell out of it, because Martina Navratilova had an unbelievable body. And she's like, I showed it off to everybody. I want people to be afraid of this body and what I could do on a tennis court. But do women do that? Do women? And here we go. We would love the idea. We would love to think that women for the Las Vegas Aces walk around after a basketball game all hot and sweaty, topless for the first 35 minutes just to let the sweat get off before they put a towel around them. But unfortunately, I don't think that holds true.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. I guess some people could interpret my just discomfort with this whole.
Okay, so
phenomenon.
So you lay out by pools, right? Or do you go topless by pools?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, would there be? Because I know some guys that won't go topless in pools. I mean, they're t-shirt guys. They will not. And some of them are like, they're not cut. They're not overweight in particular. But when they get past a certain age, My father was one of them. Once my dad turned like 65, the shirt stayed on. Even by now, he said it was because of sun poisoning and stuff like that. But and he had a pretty good pot belly going for him too. I'm going to have my dad's body with a little chicken legs and the pot belly. But he would he would always say, "Listen, I think there comes an age where you just don't take your shirt off ever." I don't think he even took his shirt off to make love to my mom. I know she didn't take the muumuu off. I know that wasn't.
Yeah, I hope it wasn't like a Garfield T-shirt or something.
My mom would put the muumuu on Monday. It wouldn't come off till Friday.
Now that you mention it, though, when I was a little bit of a heftier fella, I know I used tactics even laying in my poolside chair where I would just happen to position my towel right around my waist or kind of just lay it on my stomach because I really didn't want to display that unsightly, vision. But on the
I'll ask you a question right now. Point out, and I'll do it if you do it. ABC 3340 starting a lineup first segment shirtless next week.
Oh geez. I don't know if they all already rejected me getting a massage.
The first 5 minutes. We'll invite Legend to come up and do it. He can join us too.
I guess we can paint some kind of letters on our, we could do ABC, do a little promo. If management's okay with it.
I mean, we can continue our conversation. You and I have always discussed what it'd be like to go shirtless. I have never sat next to someone. Well, and I take that back. I have sat next to some people at football games that were shirtless. As a matter of fact, at a Stallions game. And it doesn't make me feel uncomfortable. I don't like them rubbing up against me when it's full, but unfortunately the Birmingham Stallions don't have that issue. But if you're in a Tennessee Titans, you can walk away. There's plenty of room. But at a Tennessee Titans game, middle of August for exhibition game, yeah, you'll probably see some shirtless guys out there. But maybe that'd be a situation we could do on the show.
Well, I'm not interested in being shirtless, but real quick, because it's a related topic because we brought it up. A couple of guys have kind of tried to make me feel guilty and not the gentleman we mentioned, but some guys have kind of indicated that, well, if you're not supporting the Stallions, then you're anti-Birmingham. How do you feel about that? You've been in Birmingham a long time. No. It's nothing against the Stallions or Birmingham. I'm just not interested in the Spring Football League.
No, you just can't be, you can't. And for example, and girl led, you brought this up right now. You know what's going on. We have the police officer. What is it? The police officer, first responder, and firefighters Olympics going on. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, yeah.
That my son actually brought me. So we're gonna go. And I said, why? And he said, don't you want to go watch? And I said, not really. I mean, I went to the World Games. I mean, just to show my support. I said, but I didn't even know there was a police officer. And good for them. I think it's great. But you know, today they're doing motorcycle wrangling and doing billiards. And I'm like, do I really want to see four or five police officers shooting pool? I said, it's not what I want to be doing. I appreciate my police officer friends. I've got a lot of police officer friends. Never defund the police. Give them whatever they need. I think they're fantastic.
Absolutely.
I love firefighters. I love first responders. I don't think we can have enough of them. If they want to have Olympics every four, whatever, but that's not something I'm going to go watch because it just doesn't sound like it's particularly fun to do that. But yeah, from a standpoint of the Birmingham, no. And listen, people are sitting there and go, well, they've won back-to-back-to-back championships and blah, blah, blah. Why can't we fill it? I think they've done a wonderful job based on what kind of marketing money they have. And I drive by that giant football on Highway 119 where their offices are because we go to a Zaxby's down the street. So that giant football sitting on a tee. I think they've done a wonderful, masterful job. And I think they've got a great coach, a coach that I think a lot of people would think that certainly would have been, Skip would have probably gone back into college or maybe even the professional level at some point. I don't know what they're paying him to be part of the Stallions. And I do think that since the league collapsed on itself with the XFL and themselves, that was probably a good move. But it all comes down to television. If ESPN covers it, it's going to go. And if they don't, then, you know, it ain't going to happen. But no, just because you're not a Birmingham Stallions fan, first of all, it's too damn hot. I mean, I'm sorry. I went to the Def Leppard concert last Wednesday night and about passed out. My ass is 60. I mean, I kept it together. But when you get older, and you get a little less temperamental, you get to pick and choose how uncomfortable you want to be in your life. And to go into a football game in the middle of July just ain't my thing. I'm sorry. The only reason I go is because there's nobody there and I can actually walk around. But I mean, we're the kind of guys, at least I am, I'm calling up and saying, which side's the shade on? I'm not sitting on the sunny side at a football game in July or August. I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. So because of that, no. But if they want to, listen, Stallions fan, good for them. I mean, that's great. It always starts with a small little group. There's a video out there somewhere, and I forget what it's called. They're at some concert, and this one guy standing out in the middle of the lawn without a shirt on, and he's jumping around, and he's just doing this crazy thing, and people are videotaping it because the guy looks like he's drugged up and out of control. Long story short, by the end of the video, there's 1,000 people that have joined him. They see him having a great time. He doesn't give a shit about what people think about him. He's having a wonderful time. He's doing loops and stuff. Next thing you know, a guy comes in, and he stands with him. Another guy comes in. Next thing you know, there's a group of 50 people that are jumping up and down at this concert, and they create their own group. And that's what the Stallions fans are doing. So if that's what you want to do, that's great. I'm just glad to see that they've been around long enough to make that happen.
Well, if you're going to invite me to a game, invite me to one with the shirts on section. I'm really not interested in displaying my body parts or even my upper body to an admiring group of guys. That's just not how
I try to think about how often I'd be sucking in, because I mean, we suck in. Now this is really interesting too. And I didn't realize this. But I went and saw my good friend, Dr. Josh Claypo, who, by the way, could go without a shirt and pull it off. He keeps and looks fantastic. But his wife was telling me that women suck in more than men do. And I said, it's
really? I was not aware of that.
I said, that's impossible. And she goes, no. She goes, seriously, we are constantly, that's why we have so many issues with our colons, our IBS and all that stuff, is because we are constantly sucking in. And I thought only guys today, because I'm constantly sucking in. I've always sucked in. I've always had the pot belly, the beer belly. And I always say, if you can't see the tip of your dick, you need to lose weight. And that's what I always tell my son. If you look down in the morning and you can't see the tip, then you need to lose some weight. And so I've always made a point to make sure that I'm sucking in enough that at least I can see what I've got. But I'm telling you, she said that more women, she said women are constantly sucking in. I said, really? She said, I never knew that. I said that is
shocking. Well, that was the whole concept behind the girdle, right? I still nobody's ever been able to answer this question. I've wondered about it since I was a kid. There was a bombshell movie star named Jane Russell who started doing Playtex girdle ads. Yep. And remember, it was the 18-hour girdle, and I always wondered. And nobody's ever been able to explain to me what happens after 18 hours. Tony, did it self-destruct? Did it disintegrate?
You blew up.
Did the seams burst? What the hell happened to the
18-hour girl? Could you imagine back in the days when they have to? Were they just girls? Women would be putting their feet in the middle of your back, pulling the straps.
Yes.
To try to get your waist this big and your boost A up like this to get that hourglass look. Yeah, and Kim Kardashian, she's made a living off of it, right? She's got the Skims. I mean, women love the Skims. The thing about the Skims is eventually it's going to come off. That's what I've always thought, you know, I've had the laser lipo thing done with Dr. Marie Mickey. You have to wear this Velcro thing for like 4 or 5 weeks. It helps keep your shape in your body, takes the muffin tops off, and you get used to wearing it. And it makes you look damn good to the point where you don't want to take it off. Hopefully the surgery is good enough that you can eventually take it off in your body's formation. But I still have the girdle. But occasionally, if a guy will put it on and you put your hands on it, you can't tell he's wearing the girdle. And it is amazing how much better. But eventually, if you end up landing the woman or the guy you're trying to impress, they're going to see you naked. So it's going to come off sooner or later. It's all going to come out in your profile, right?
Well, it reminds me too. Remember the opening scene in Gone with the Wind? Mammy is stringing Scarlett up for that party. Dude. Remember, and pulling those strings so tight that she was a little skinny thing to start with. Just amazing what women. It comes full circle, and you tell me that women suck in because I guess now they don't wear those torture devices anymore. But that was the methodology apparently back in the old days of how to disguise any hint of the slightest bit of body.
See,
fat.
I always thought I knew I sucked in when I get around. We just do it. We don't even know we're doing it. I guess women are the same way. But when I walk into a room, I suck in.
Oh, and if somebody's taking a picture, you go,
absolutely. And isn't it nice now you don't have to do that anymore? You've lost 45, 50 pounds, and maybe you're still sucking in too. But I always thought it had something that was actually affecting my gastrointestinal area because I was constantly writhing my body into this, morphing it into the shape that I wanted to look like for a period of time. But yeah, you're definitely sucking in. Unfortunately, you can't suck in with your neck. The neck is the next thing that's got to go. But I didn't realize that women did that.
That's shocking.
I was like, really? And she's like, oh my gosh. She goes, women have sucked in ever since we were born. I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing guy. But you know.
Well, this has been an interesting discussion. I don't know if we've really made a very solid point, but my resounding message is, fellas, keep your shirts on. Good grief. Pants especially.
And especially if you feel like you can go shirtless and look good doing it, because they're going to be the kind of guy we don't want to hang out with.
That's right.
And be careful, by the way, if you ever go, I've been blessed. I went to Aruba with my wife on a second honeymoon, and they have topless beaches down there. And in Aruba, it's pretty people. So I can tell you right now, you're going to want to see almost everything that's naked on the beach. And I even asked the guy, because I wanted to go topless and bottomless, because guys we can't have fun. We can't do anything. And so I asked my wife, I said, if you want to go topless? And she's like, no. I said, man, because my wife had a great rack. I said, go for it. I said, it doesn't bother me. And she goes, no, it really makes me kind of feel uncomfortable. And so I had the dark shades on, and on my eyeballs, I mean, I had a headache. I had a migraine headache because my eyeballs were just kept straying all over the beach because everything would look fantastic. And I asked the guy, I said, can I go bottomless? And he looked at my wife. He said, she can, you can't. I said, so women were allowed to go bottomless, but men weren't allowed to go bottomless. I said, oh, but there was also another beach in Barcelona, Spain. I'll never forget. And you mentioned him. I was with my good friend, Herb Winches. And we're on the beach and we see this thing coming at us from 50 or 60 yards. And I said, the first person who can identify whether that's a man or a woman buys the next round of drinks. And it took the guy probably about 10 feet from us to realize that it was actually a man and not a woman, because there's not, just because it's a topless beach, you don't want to see all of it. You don't want to see half of it. Half of it's not good, unless, of course, you're going to a rich area like the Caribbean or Barcelona or Rio or something like that, where, you know, half the people are gonna be looking good. But it's so funny because, you know, we just get so, you know, in Europe, it's like, it's no big deal. I mean, it's really no big deal.
Well, you can still go to Vegas if you're inclined for this kind of behavior. And True. They have the European pool that no kids or anybody under 21 is not allowed.
Did you know there's a topless, a boat on every ship on cruise lines?
I was not aware of that. I knew some of them had them, but
Carnival Cruise Lines. And I was not aware of this. And I found out on the last day, and obviously you can't take cameras or anything up there, but almost every single cruise ship, if you pull it up, almost every single crew, even family, I think even Disney, there is a deck that you can sunbathe naked in because of international waters and stuff like that. And obviously there's several rules that go along with that, but yeah, you can go, and you don't have to be topless if you don't want to be up there. But I mean, obviously people are used to doing that kind of stuff. So just something to think about next time you go on a cruise.
Well, I don't know. Like I say, I don't know what grand conclusions we've made with this discussion.
There is absolutely none. Your friends and the women that you like in your life don't want to see old guys not wearing shirts.
Yeah, I just thought that sequence of events today was hilarious.
But if we told people we were going topless this weekend on ABC 3340, we would have some people just tune in just to see what the hell is going on. Oh, I know.
Well, I just did need to know about these sensationalized headlines. Mm-hmm. Stupider things have drawn viewers, so who knows? It's a way to go. We live in just a headline and soundbite society, so I guess the more outrageous you can be, I've got to say, sadly, I guess that's what gets people's attention.
We could always invite Elvira to come back and join us.
Elvira can pull it off.
She literally can pull it off.
She basically did pull it off.
She did. And she'll be back in October, by the way. We're having her on the show again.
But it was some sweet revenge for me, because I didn't even, when we had Elvira on, she was hanging out everywhere. And since she was sitting next to me and not across from me, you know, my vision's not very good. So I was oblivious. And my ex-wife happened to be in town watching the show. And she texts me and says, she's petting you.
You had no clue. You were like, what the hell is the big deal? And like everyone was like, what the hell are you doing? You scumbag having that thing. I was like, dude, it's Elvira. And you didn't even realize it until you got home and blew it up on your big screen.
General, you dumped me 17 years ago. But what do you care? You know, I'm not your turf anymore. She can pet me all she wants.
Oh, that's all.
Anyway,
she'll be coming up later on in October. Thank you, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to next week. Tony wants to talk about, do we really need officials on the fields and on the courts? And I've got some strong thoughts about that, so we'll give you a little tease. And we're going to, maybe we'll do Kiefer and Curry next week without our shirts on.
There you go. There we can do that.
All right.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.